titled Don't Look Back. And as we looked into this book written by Christine Kane and the scriptures, there's a lot that can be said about how to look backwards in our life. Now, last week, the title of the message was this: Where You Look, You Will Go. In other words, where you and I focus our lives, what we lock onto, what we look at, is where our life will go. And we learn that there's a couple ways to look back. Now, understand that we all need to learn from our past. We need to get life lessons from it. On the other hand, there's the danger of getting fixated or stuck on something in our past. And so, two ways to look at our past. The first one is what we call the glance. The glance is similar to a rear-view mirror on the outside of the car, or the inside one, in which you are driving down the road and you want to see what's behind you. You glance. You might spend just a couple of seconds. It's not meant to gaze into. It's a glance. So when you think of your past, there are times where we learn from it and may spend time with it, but as we move on, we need to just glance at it rather than, which is the second way, is what we call fixated. Now, when we're fixated on something, we gaze at it. We look at it intensely. We look at it over a period of time, and we are, the best word is fixated on it, for what it could be a good thing, or it could be a bad thing. And so there's two ways to look back. We can glance, or we can literally gaze on it, and sometimes there can be negative results of becoming fixated. So here's a little picture, a fun one, of what happens when we get fixated. Now, I have to say there's times in my life where I have looked back and I've become fixated. And the end result is a crash. It's a crash emotionally, mentally, spiritually. It sucks the energy out of us. We're not a lot of good in the present because there's so much energy focused on the past. So, two ways to look back: glance, just a few seconds, or we become fixated and we gaze upon it. Now, there's a verse in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. It's in your notes. Let's read that together. Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Last week, we learned about Lot's wife, who the angels came to Sodom to deliver her and Lot and the two daughters. And the instructions were flee and do not look back. And we learned that last week she did look back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. And as you think about the meaning of the word look, there must have been something inside her that made her gaze or want to go back, and she turned around. And so last week we just studied the passage of what happened to her. Today we're going to look at how to get unstuck if you're stuck. Now, in your notes, there are two statements, and I call them guardrails, or they're like boundary stakes, and I want to explain the two principles. Here's what most of us do in our lives. We often get fixated, on the problem and glance at God's promises. Letter A, most of us spend a lot of time gazing and looking back, and we only glance at God's promises. We know God wants to help us, but we're looking this way rather than this way. That's principle number one. Principle number two, what we need to do is get fixated on God's promises and glance at our problems. Now, somewhere between A and B, you can find yourself. Now, we all start more towards A. We're just stuck on the problem in our past of some kind. We're hooked, we're fixated, and we all start there. But when you and I learn to apply the Word of God to our hearts, what happens is the focus shifts to what God says about it, and we become fixated on that in a good way, and then we can just glance at the problems. So everybody here is somewhere between A and B of these two principles. And it's all about focus. So I brought something with me today. It's a rope. I've used this before, but it was good to pull it out again. This represents your life. And this is when you were born, and this is the age you are today. And so when we're a kid, as a child, stuff can happen to us. Maybe we feel abandoned or neglected, and it's a deep hurt in our life. Get to be a little older, you become a teenager. Can be rough years. Decisions are made, some good, some bad, or we may lose a parent. We have a heavy hit emotionally in our life. We get to be an adult, and maybe get married, and have children, or maybe there's relationships that didn't work out, and there's a real emotional hurt. Then the kids grow up, they might move out, and maybe you become a grandparent, but this represents your life. Now here's what happens. If along life's journey, you have something you experience that is deeply painful, it becomes a knot. And the knot impacts your life. The rope is not smooth anymore. It's not, there's something in it that hangs us up. And sometimes there can be multiple knots. And we find we get stuck in life because of a hurt, a disappointment, an emotional pain that happened maybe this past year, or it could be years ago. Makes no difference. And we have struggle because of the knot somewhere in our past. Now, this is real living for all of us. And so when you think about not looking back, God has a plan for our knots. He wants us to help. He wants to help deal with them. Christine Kane, who wrote the book Don't Look Back, I believe she was born and raised in Australia. And she lived there many years. And she was born into a Greek family. And here's what happened. She's in her middle-aged life, and she and her husband started a ministry called A21. It's anti-trafficking, sex trafficking, and they had offices in different places in the world. And the husband came home one day and said to Christine, "I think we should move to the States because it's more central to our ministry and our offices." Well, Christine, who had her mother there and other family, had grown up just doing life together as a family. It was a real hit for her. But as she prayed about it, she agreed that they needed to move from Australia to the United States. They ended up in California. Here's what happened. They made the move, and they're now living, she and her husband, I believe the girls, they're living in California. A friend came to her one day and said this. She said, "You're here, but you're not really here." Now, what she was saying is there was something about her life while she's in California, there wasn't something quite right about her. And here's what Christine came to discover. She was in California, but her heart was back in Australia. We get that. There was something in her past. She had a knot. She moved to California, but her heart was still back there. Now, here's what happens. You and I have something happen to us in our past, good or bad, and we get a knot. But we continue to live life, and we move forward. Our heart needs to catch up to our mind. In other words, the heart was in Australia, but she was in California, and the mind and the heart were disconnected. They weren't in agreement. When something happens in your past and my past, whether it's last year or many years ago, we can be here today, but our heart is somewhere back there. Now, what happened to Christine, she had to heal. She had to grieve the loss of all the family birthdays, the celebrations of getting together because they live close. You know, that family dynamic of when everybody's really close and you do life together. And then she moved to California. She said she had to grieve the loss of that. You know why? She had a knot that she had to deal with so she could get free to live in a different way in California. Now, she goes back and forth to Australia, but life changed for her. But the central point is this. You and I can be here today, but our heart is somewhere else because of a knot, a hurt, a pain, something that we yet have to resolve. So what I want to do today is talk about how to get unstuck. If you're here this morning and you say, you know, you've got a knot in your life that you've been dealing with for a while and you can't get past, I hope this message will help. Because God has a plan for the knots in our life. So take your sermon listening guide and let's kind of jump in here. Let me share this list. This was something in her book. These are some areas we get stuck on. Our emotions, our thoughts, our attitudes, our possessions, our habits, pain in our life, our wounds, relationships, our past, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Listen, we can get stuck in about any area, but God wants us to be free on the inside so that we can live fully in terms of the energy we need to fulfill his purposes. So, three simple thoughts of how to untie a knot in your life. Number one, look for gold, read and study the scriptures, and find a promise regarding the need in your life. Let me explain what I mean by that. The man's name was John Marshall. He was a carpenter and a sawmill operator who lived in Coloma, California. And he went to work on January 24th, 1848. Now, he was the overseer of the sawmill. Part of his job responsibility was to tour the plant in the morning and to make sure everything was in order and would work properly. Another part of his job was to go outside the plant and to literally check on the river because the water powered some of the sawmill. So on this particular day, John Marshall went to the sawmill, checked it out. He then went outside to look at the river. Something was about to happen to him that would change his life forever. Here's what happened. He checked on the South Fork American River that ran below the mill. As he peered into the water, he spotted something small, no larger than a pea. It was glinting at him from the riverbed. Marshall, excuse me, later said, "I reached down my hand and picked it up, and it made my heart thump, for I was certain it was gold." What he did is he picked up this little piece, put it in his pocket. He then went to his boss, whose name was John Sutter. He said, "I need a secret private meeting with you that nobody else can hear." And they got together, and John Marshall pulled out a hanky, and in it was this piece of gold, and he showed it to his boss. And basically what it was, it ended up being about 2 ounces. It was a 23-carat piece of gold that John Marshall had found in the riverbed. When you get into God's word and you find a scripture, a promise from God that addresses your need, you have struck gold. You can be one of the richest people in Walton today. When you find the promises of God that he drops into your life, that talks about your future purpose, that talks about how he wants to use you, that talks about how to find healing of your past from a knot in your life, when you find that, you find gold. So point number one is you got to get into the scriptures, read it, listen to music, listen, let God drop a promise into your life that speaks to the knots in your life, and you will have found gold. So here's what I want to do. I want to share with you some scriptures that I've used through years that are meaningful to me. Maybe they're meaningful to you as well, but they've been meaningful to me. Here's the first one. Let's read it together. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is a promise we've heard through the years. Last Friday, I was up at the jail and had different services with the inmates, and I asked this question. How many here believe that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And actually, there was a good number that raised their hands. Some people didn't. And for the people that raise their hand, this promise says this. If you have confessed your sins and you've asked Christ into your life, you are on your way to heaven. That's what happened to Mr. Pond. And let me tell you, this promise is gold. You can put this in your pocket. You're a wealthy person today, because if something happened to you or me tonight, we know where we're going. That's gold. That's awesome. Here's another one. Let's read it. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The word transgressions means sins or mistakes. Now, I asked the people in the services up there at the jail, I said, how far is the east from the west? And one lady said, oh, thousands of miles, 1,000 miles. I mean, there's no beginning and no end. Now listen, if you and I believe that promise, that whatever you've done wrong or I've done wrong or Mr. Pond had done wrong, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed that from us. Let me tell you, that is gold in your pocket. That is making you a wealthy person. Maybe you're here and as a kid you felt abandoned or unwanted. Do you realize there's a promise in the word that says God will be your father? I mean, it's gold when we find the promise that addresses the need in our life. Read with me Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. I asked them the question. I said, how many here feel condemned? There were hands that went up. Some did not. There was one lady in the ladies' pod. She says, you know what? I really don't feel condemned. I mean, she was there for something, and yet she said she had learned to deal with the sense of condemnation. Let me stop here. I would guess that every person here, if you're honest, you have a pocket of self-condemnation in your life. Something you did in the past or some hurt in life, you just feel condemned. It's shame. It's a sense of brokenness and regret. And here's the great promise. Jesus said, or Paul wrote, if you believe in Christ and he's in your life, there's no condemnation for you. What does that mean? We take the gift of who he is into our life, and we push back and deal with our own sense of self-condemnation. Now, condemnation is one of those inner knots. It has been for me, maybe for you as well. But the promise says there's supposed to be none there. which means if I go to work on it, I need to get free of the condemnation from my past. Let's go to the back of the sermon listening guide. Galatians 3:13. This is one of my favorites. Let's read it together. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. One of the questions that was thrown out last Friday is, do you ever feel cursed or defeated in your life? And some people raise their hand. And yet, here's the great promise. Christ came to absorb it. He came to soak it up. He came to do something for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. He wants to absorb the sense of defeat or the sense of condemnation or the sense of being cursed. That's the promise of God through Christ. The problem is we get fixated on the knot, the sense of defeat or this sense of feeling cursed, rather than focusing on the problem. And God says, if you believe what Christ did for you, he can free us from it. Now, I've come to realize there's two ways to get healed. One is instantaneously. Could be spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. I've had God do things in my life that, for whatever reason, he took care of in an instant. I think you probably have too. There's been other ways, other times, which it's not instantaneously done. It is over time. And I prefer method one. I like it when it's just done. But there's been a whole bunch of stuff in my life where I have to continue to work at it, continue to reprogram, to somehow redefine things. So two ways of healing, instantaneously and over time. I believe the blind man came to Jesus, and Jesus healed him instantly. He had his sight. There was another case where people came to him, and it says this, as they went, they were healed. There was a process involved. So whichever way, understand that God's promise says he will absorb stuff if we let him absorb it. And the last one, Hebrews 8:12. Let's read it. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. So one of the questions was, well, if we confess our sins to God, what does he do with them? And it says, he will remember them what? No more. Now, we're human beings. We confess it and we try and let it go, but we keep remembering it. And we get fixated on it and snagged by it. God has forgotten it, according to his word. So you and I have to go to work on believing the promise and fixating on the promise more than the problem. So we're somewhere between A and B. Either we're looking and spending more time on the hurt, or we shift our focus and believe God's word of what he says he'll do about our problem. And he says, which is amazing, he will remember them no more. I think there's some things I've confessed 100 times, maybe 500. He's probably forgotten about it. I haven't. But his word says he will remember them no more. Now, here's a quote. An active faith can give thanks for a promise, though it is not as yet performed, knowing that God's bonds are as good as ready money. What does this mean? If you got a knot in your life and you've got a promise to push back on it, you stick with the promise until it happens and freedom comes. I mean, that's where faith is. It's an active faith. It takes some work at times to say, God, help me to get over this. But the point is, it is good as gold in your pocket when you get a promise and you become fixated on it and believe God for his help. So point number one, look for gold. I mean, get into the word and just look for it. Point number two. The second thing we need to do is this. Change how you think toward your problem. You got to change your mindset about the problem itself. Read with me Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, your brain, my brain, needs to be rewired. We need to look at things differently. And when we take the promises of God and we fix them into our thinking, we view our problems of the past differently. So the scripture says, as a man or woman thinks in their heart, so are they. So what does that mean? It's important to look at how we view the problem or the issues in our past. So there's a philosopher, Epictetus, says this: men are disturbed not by things, but by the view they take of them. You see, how you look at the knot in your life is a big deal. And sometimes we have to change the way we think, because when we find gold in a promise, I have to challenge the way I think about the problem, even though there's a big struggle within me to get there. So here's a few quotes. Here's the first one. Sometimes we have to think about things differently. I mean, when you pit a problem against the Word of God, and the Word of God will say this over it, it's like a prophet. It's like speaking into the problem's future. And when you put that against a problem, you got to think about your problem differently, because the authority is in the word that God has toward the problem. Here's another quote. It's not the load that breaks you down, it's the way you carry it. You may be here today, and you've got a huge load in your mind and heart. It may be from something, like I say, just a few months ago, or past year, or many years ago. The load won't break you. It's how you carry it and how you view it. And when you get God's perspective, you get his promise, the gold in your pocket regarding what he says about your problem, let me tell you, you become a wealthy person, because he is the one that can redefine the knot or the problem in your life. Change how you think about the problems in your life. All right, so number one, look for gold. Number two, change the way you think. Number three. Third point I want to make is soak it in grace. Soak it in grace. Many of you know I grew up in Iowa. My father sold farm equipment, International Harvester farm equipment, in the area, and he had a shop where he repaired tractors and different pieces of equipment. And in the shop, he had a metal tank, one real big, something like that. And in this tank, there was a cleansing detergent. And he would take a bearing out of a tractor, a wheel, and he would set the bearing inside this tank, and it was this cleaning detergent. And it even had a motor in it. And when you turn the motor on, this fluid would begin to circulate, and it would have action over the bearing, and it would help to remove the dirt, the sand, the grit, the grime that was locking it up or hindering it. And so the bearings could be in there for a long time. They just soaked. And this cleaning detergent, and people that work in shops, it has a distinct smell. I mean, it just cleans. It's a cleanser. But here's the purpose. It sets the bearing free. When you think about the grace of God, grace is God's love, his mercy, his help, his favor. And it, when you soak the knot of your life in his grace, it can free us up. Now, for some, it can take months, or it could take years. But the grace of God is meant to set us free when we have a hurt in our past. And so as we think about grace, let's read together Romans 5:20 in your notes. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Here's what it's saying. When I messed up, it abounded. It just took off. It became large. But Paul says grace did much more abound. In other words, grace is bigger than the first abound. Grace has the capacity to consume it, to swallow it, to overcome it, to defeat it. And so he says, hey, grace did much more abound. Galatians 2:21, let's read that. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Here's what Paul is saying. This divine cleansing fluid, this cleaner, he says, I do not set it aside. Rather, I give my life and lean into it. Because it's in that very place where God will take the knots of our life, and when we soak it in his presence, over time, this is what happens. He can untie the knot to bring freedom in our lives. In James 4, 5, and 6, I'll read that. It says, do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. God is a generous grace giver. Take the places where you're stuck in life, surrender it, and let grace have that action in your life to clean it up and to set you free, to make you whole. And that's what he promises to do. Here's a quote. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. What's the worst hurt you have in your life today? It only takes you a few seconds to get in touch with it. Here's what it says. Grace is bigger, stronger, deeper, wider than your deepest hurt. And God's grace, because of who he is available to us to soak that in and to somehow find freedom in a new way. So three simple thoughts about getting unstuck when you're stuck. Go on a search and look for gold. You'll find it. If you seek it, you'll find it. You read the scripture and you get a promise that gives you hope. And you know what that promise does? It's a prophet over your problem. And the promise speaks about what's going to happen. Now, it may take some time. It may be over time God will deliver us. But God's word has authority to deal with the knots in our life. Number two, change how you think about it. We're all between point A and point B. Intro, comments, statements of the message. Am I more fixated on the problem? Or am I more fixated on the promise which God says about my problem? And finally, number three, soak it in grace. Just put it in the container, the bin. Say, God, here it is. I'm just going to deposit it in this thing called grace. And I ask you to come and start to go to work on it. Here's a closing thought. One slide. Establish your heart in God's grace. Final thought. Whatever you got going in your life, establish your heart in grace. You know why? God is the one who can get us unstuck when we give him that opportunity, because that's what he delights to do for us. Let's pray. I want you to take just a few moments of silent prayer. And if you've never asked Christ into your life, it's real simple. You just open your heart and say, Lord, forgive me for trying to do life my way, and invite him in. Just invite him into your life, or recommit yourself to him. And I want you to look at your biggest problem in life and ask yourself, have you found gold in God's promises of what he says about your problem? Ask him to show you what that gold is. Change how you think about your problem. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I've been so hooked and fixated on the problem, maybe I need to take a step back and say, okay, God, how can I think differently about what's going on inside me so that God can do something new in creating a new freedom in your life? And lastly, establish your heart in grace. Let it soak in grace. Everything in your life, every knot you've got, surrender it and soak it in the grace of God. Here's what he'll do. He'll begin to work freedom into your life to somehow set you free of where you've been struggling or stuck in life. Let your heart catch up to the present. Let him bring healing into your heart. Let him, maybe it's mourning the loss of something, but let your heart catch up to where you're at today so your mind and your heart are in agreement in the present. So, Lord, we need your help this morning. There's a lot of things in life that are bigger than we are that we've struggled with. We just acknowledge that. And for some of us, we're just stuck in certain areas. And so we need you today, this moment, to bring us into an encounter with you that can change everything going forward. We came here today to worship you, and we were doing that, but we want to leave here differently. And so we ask that your Spirit would speak hope and life and healing and a sense of empowerment, a sense of victory, over the area or areas of our life where we feel defeated or cursed, condemned, where, Lord, we just need a fresh start, a new beginning, where you are God over our hearts. And we want to establish our hearts this morning in this thing called grace and just let them sit there and just soak it in. Your love, your mercy, your goodness. Father, that you would just come and give us a fresh new start even today. So I pray for every person here today, those listening online. Lord, you know each of our lives. And I pray that you'll bring victory to people today to give them a new sense of hope and freedom as they deal with the knots in their life, that where they are stuck, you'll begin a new work to bring them to freedom and feeling unstuck going forward. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.